Good to have some Odessa people. That's the town of my birth. I'm a Texan. Hallelujah, by birth. You could be sorry. I'm not. Hallelujah. There's just something about Texans, that Lone Star State. They got what it takes to stand up if you have to stand by yourself. That's it. Hallelujah. It says, don't mess with Texas. You see that, don't you? On the road, I see it on the signs. Hallelujah. So I'm glad. But you know what? Apostle Paul could never have been a Texan because he said he learned to be content in whatever state he was in. Amen. I'm excited about the Lord tonight. Praise God. I'm happy. I don't have an itch to scratch to preach. God called me to preach. And I told God I'd preach as long as He anointed me. If He quit anointing me, I'd quit preaching. Amen. And so far He still does, and I feel it coming on already tonight. But we're not going to be preaching. We're going to be teaching tonight. That means you go a little slower. I believe it was Brother Lonnie Treadway's little son. They asked him one time, said, what's the difference between preaching and teaching? He said, well, preaching is yelling and teaches is telling. And so that kind of sums it up. Praise God. I've been looking forward to have this opportunity to teach the word tonight. I've been living with this lesson for the last 2 months. I think my Bible just automatically falls open. This is a brand new Bible, so it's getting broken. But I've been with this lesson so long, the last 2 months, when I open my Bible, it just falls open to that chapter. So I'm wanting to move on, but I just feel God wants to edify us tonight and help us. Praise God. So if you would open your Bible tonight, you're going to need your Bible, whether it's on your phone or your tablet. I'm old school. I just like to put my finger on it, you know, just like to lay my hand on it. And so we're reading tonight two verses. And this will be the bookends for this lesson tonight. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Just give you a second to turn there. Or not turn in your Bible, open your Bible. All right, 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And then turning to the last verse of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This is the bookend. And it says, let all things be done decently and in order. All right, you can be seated. Tonight I want to teach from this subject, the order of the Spirit. The order of the Spirit. Now we just read the last verse said, let all things be done decently and in order. In Pentecost, Apostolic Pentecost, our services are, they're not in a rut. We have liberty and we have spontaneous worship. We have spontaneous praise. And we must never get away from spontaneously responding to the presence of the Lord. But even in all of that spontaneity, God has a spiritual order. Spiritual order. And so I feel to tell you this night, tonight, I'm going to say this. I'm not saying this to be braggadocio, but I felt it in prayer that I needed to say this before I start off tonight. And that is July the 7th of this month, July the 7th. I had my 52nd birthday having received the Holy Ghost. I've had the Holy Ghost 52 years. Hallelujah. And it just gets gooder and gooder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been in the ministry 47 of those 52 years. I've been an evangelist for 7.5 years. I was an assistant pastor for 2.5 years. And I pastored for 36 years all together. And then, in addition to that, I got 4 years of Bible college. Now, I'm not saying that to be bragging. I'm just telling you, I got some experience in what I'm teaching tonight. I didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday. I was born at night, but not last night. And so, I've been an evangelist. I'm going to do the work of the evangelist this week. Hallelujah. I love being an evangelist. I've been a pastor. And now I'm an elder teacher. And I'm not one bit ashamed to tell you that or to claim that. I know who I am. And I know where I'm at. And I know God. Hallelujah. And please do not interpret that as braggadocio. It just, we sing that song. I know who I am. Well, I know who I am. Hallelujah. Amen. And so by God's grace, we've been able to continue until this moment. And how many years I got left, I don't know. But I appreciate the Lord tonight. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural, but they are not mysterious. Don't confuse the two. Supernatural means it is above and beyond ordinary human power. It comes from God. Supernatural. They're not of this world, though we exercise them in this world. They are from God. He gives them to His people. Praise God. All right, so they're not supernatural, neither are they mysterious. Now, having said that, I think it's interesting. Now, first of all, Apostle Paul is the primary setter forth of doctrine in the New Testament. He wrote over half of it as the Holy Ghost gave him the utterance. He didn't just make it up. God gave him the words to teach. He was a missionary, a church planter, an evangelist, an apostle, and a prophet. And so the Lord used him very greatly. It is interesting the methodology that Apostle Paul used in his writings. Apostle Paul had the unique ability to pull together in one place the complete teaching on key important subjects. You don't have to search all over the whole Bible to find it. And you read the writings of Apostle Paul, 8th chapter of Romans, Holy Ghost. 6th chapter, water baptism. You see what I'm talking about? 1 Corinthians 11, he talks about authority and the sign of it. And also talks about the communion service. And so tonight, Paul says this. Now, we got to understand the word. In 1 Corinthians 12, 1, he said, I would not have you ignorant. He's not calling them stupid. I don't like to use that word. Sometimes I say I'm stupid, but I don't like somebody else to tell me that I am. Neither do you. So what does he mean, I would not have you to be ignorant? To be ignorant means a lack of knowledge. To be uninformed. And yet a lot of apostolic people lack knowledge and are really uninformed about the order of the Spirit. If there's anybody on God's green earth, though it's not very green here in Gallup, but anybody on God's green earth that ought to be educated and informed on spiritual things, it's us. And yet sometimes we lack understanding. Now, there is much confusion in Christianity today about speaking with tongues. Now, you need to have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, because that's where we're going to go. So there's much confusion in Christianity regarding tongues. Some teach that tongues are not for us today. And you can look in 1 Corinthians 13, and here is a verse that they misinterpret. Now, the Scripture is of no private interpretation. We can't put our own spin on it. And the only way you can interpret Scripture is with Scripture. The Scripture interprets itself. Okay. Now notice, here's where the people, you can see, we're going to see real clear tonight that many people in Christianity, even those that believe in receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, misinterpret the Bible. I don't matter, you can line them up 14 miles long and I'll tell them, every one, you are misinterpreting it. Here's what it says. And I won't be mean, it'll just true. So, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, let's look at that. I believe it's, I want verse 9 and 10. It says, 10 and 11. Oh, 8, 9, 10. Charity, that is love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And here is the verse that is misinterpreted. They say, they use Scripture to misinterpret Scripture. For example, the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect. James said about the Scriptures, he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, this man shall be blessed. And both of those Scriptures talk about God's Word as being perfect. And so, many, you get a commentary, I don't care which one you get, except that one written by Brother Marvin Treese, that one will have you straight. That's an apostolic. They say, since we have the Bible, and it is perfect and complete, which it is, we don't need tongues or prophecy anymore. That's the argument. But there's one phrase of that verse they don't like. Prophecies will fail and tongues will cease. Knowledge shall vanish away. I said, do you know anything today, Bubba? Well, yes. Well, then tongues didn't cease and prophecies haven't failed. What does it mean when that which is perfect is come? It's talking about that perfect state of things that will exist when the Lord Jesus sets up His kingdom on the earth. Yes, we are in the kingdom of God right now. We're in His spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And since these gifts that are nine of them, since they originate from the Holy Ghost, and you got the Holy Ghost, I got the Holy Ghost, then the gifts are still here. And they're available. And they're attainable. In fact, the Bible tells you to desire spiritual gifts. Covet. Now, this is the only thing I've read in the Bible where you could covet. Because everywhere else, covet just is a sin. But the Bible says covet the best gifts. So that lets you know there's some of those nine that are better than others. We're going to find that out tonight. Amen. Amen. So, tongues will cease, prophecies will fail, and knowledge will vanish away when that which is perfect is come. And that is when Jesus Christ sets up His kingdom on this earth. We won't need tongues and interpretation. We won't need prophecy. We won't need discerning of spirits. Because He said right here, we'll see how. Face to face. So if you got a question you don't understand, you just get face to face with Jesus and He'll tell you. Hallelujah. And so they won't need spiritual gifts. We must have the gifts of the Spirit. And they must operate not in a flim-flam, hit and miss, on and off, Mickey Mouse, two-bit way. They must operate according to the order of God's Spirit. And God is a God of order and He has very specific order. Okay. In the Bible, there are two kinds of tongues. There is the tongues that is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And that is for everybody. If you didn't speak with tongues, you're claiming the Holy Ghost, and you didn't speak with tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying that to be mean. Tongues is the initial, that means the first, evidence of the Holy Ghost. In fact, when they had Apostle Paul called on the carpet, how come you went to the Gentiles and you baptized them people? If you read Acts, the 10th chapter, it said, we know they received the Holy Ghost, for we heard them speak with tongues. All right. Now, that's the initial evidence. The ongoing evidence of the Holy Ghost is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. There's nine of them. Read it in Ephesians. Okay. That is for everybody. Everybody that received the Holy Ghost is for everybody. He said He would pour out His Spirit in all flesh. It doesn't mean everybody has it, but it does mean it is God's will for every living, breathing person to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you receive it, you will begin to speak with tongues. Here's the thing. As the Spirit gives you the ability to speak. King James says, as the Spirit gives the utterance. All right. Now, that's so we're in the Bible. Now, the next type of tongues is that which is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. And spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, what is that? That is the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues. And it is a supernatural gift. Now, the Mormons, might as well just tell like it is. You talk to a Mormon and ask them, do they have the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues? And they'll say yes. And that is when they send the two guys out in the white shirts and the bicycles, if they go to among the Navajo people, they learn the Navajo tongue, they figure they're speaking in tongues. If they go to China and learn Chinese, they're thinking it's the ability to learn to speak other languages. No. That is a gift. There are people that are linguistically gifted. They can pick up languages easy. But it doesn't. By my own. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that they have the Holy Ghost. It just means they have the ability to learn other languages. And I envy people like that. I can hardly speak English, let alone something else. But anyway. And so, the tongue, and here's how you can make the distinction. Now, listen, I talk to all kinds of people. I've asked them, do you have the Holy Ghost? I said, did you get the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking other tongues? They said, no, I have the Holy Ghost, but I haven't got my prayer language yet. I would not have you ignorant, brethren. That is ignorance. Somebody sold them something that was phony. It was no good. It's not the truth. So when you receive the Holy Ghost and begin, you will know you have it because you will begin to speak with other tongues. Amen. Amen. And so the gift of tongues is not for everybody. Everybody that receives the Holy Ghost will speak with tongues, but the gift of tongues is not for everybody. Now I'm going to give you some Bible evidence of what I'm talking about. In the book of Acts, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Greek word there for gift is the Greek word doria, D-O-R-E-A. It means something given gratuitously. That means without charge, without earning it. It was just a gift of God. Okay? Given by grace. Undeserved. He gave it to us. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, when it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the word is charismata, an endowment from God. And it is an empowerment from God for service. Service. Amen. That's why in the world today, people that believe in speaking with tongues that are not apostolic, they call themselves charismatic. Because they believe in speaking with tongues. But they are ignorant about the order of the Spirit. What am I saying that? To put them down? No. I want to educate everyone I can find. I mean, that's just who I am. And so when you hear somebody say, well, I don't have my prayer language yet, you just say, well, you don't have the Holy Ghost yet. When the Spirit of truth comes, He'll speak for Himself. That's what Jesus said. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's see where I'm at here. I got a note here. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:11, and then we'll drop down to verse 29 and 30. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, speaking, he just named the gifts. He says, but all these worketh, the nine gifts he named previously, worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. All of these nine spiritual gifts, I'm not going to take time to enumerate them. We're only going to be talking about two tonight. They come from the Holy Ghost. They're called the gifts of the Spirit. Now, how best way to understand that, or at least the way I can explain it to you, California, Texas, and even here, other parts of the United States, we have oil wells. Right? And when they pump that oil out of the ground, that's crude oil. And from crude oil, we get turpentine, paint thinner, gasoline, diesel fuel, various kinds of solvents, tar. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't have crude oil, you ain't going to have no turpentine. And you're not going to have no diesel fuel. And so, isn't it strange? Listen, the churches that preach and teach that it's of the devil or it's not for us today to speak in tongues, okay? There is not ever any manifestation of any gifts of the Spirit. Say, why, Pastor? Because they ain't got the Spirit. If you're going to prophesy, if you're going to have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, you're going to discernment of spirits or whatever, you've got to have the Spirit. And once you have the Holy Ghost, you can desire spiritual gifts. He gives them severally to as He wills. Hallelujah. And that's what Paul said. He named all those gifts and he said, these all operate through the self-same Spirit. Now let's go a little further. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit, everybody say one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. It's the Holy Ghost that comes with the evidence to speak with other tongues that puts you in the church, the body of Christ. And once you're in the body of Christ, God's got gifts. They're power tools. They're available, but He controls them. He gives them to whoever He wants to. And He just tells us, make yourself available. Desire spiritual gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Be zealous about them. All right, are you with me tonight? Amen, amen, amen. All right. Now, the Bible, this right here, is the basis of faith and behavior. This is God's order. Somebody said, well, I believe the moon's made out of green cheese. Well, you probably could, but this Bible doesn't say that, so you can believe anything you want to. But the basis of our faith is the Word of God. Right. Amen. And the way we act and practice has to be in accordance with the Word of God. All right? Now, the purpose. We've got to read verses 29 and 30 of this here. All right. He said he divides them several to who he wills. He gives them to who he wills. Verse 29 and 30 says this. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? are all workers of miracles? And the obvious answer is no. Right? Is everybody here an apostle? No. Okay. Now, let's look at the next verse. 29:30. All words. Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the obvious answer is no. And now, speaking with tongues here, he's talking about the gifts of tongues, gift of tongues. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. That's the subject, 1 Corinthians 12:13-14. And so he's simply saying not everybody has the gift of tongues and not everybody has the gift of interpretation. That doesn't mean nobody can. It just means everybody doesn't and won't. But God gives them severally to whoever he wills. Okay. Is that, are we on the same page? Okay. Now, the purpose of Paul's lesson here writing in 1 Corinthians is this. He's correcting many things that were not right in the Corinthian church. And we could say, thank God for the Corinthian church. We wouldn't know what to do about a lot of things if it wasn't for the Corinthian church. Because they had all kinds of problems, but they had a hunger after God. And so in 1 Corinthians 14, Apostle Paul, the purpose is he is correcting the misuse and abuse of gifts, primarily the gift of tongues and prophecy. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Remember, the Bible is the basis for and the foundation for faith and behavior. All right. Now, notice you have to read this too. I'm laying the foundation here, and we're going to get take off. 1 Corinthians 14:37 says this. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. Now, sometimes you run across people, they figure they're spiritual, and you try to correct them on the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. You've done jumped out of coon. You have just crossed the wires, and the sparks are going to fly because they think that they're spiritual, and who are you to tell them? Paul said, if anybody's spiritual and they think you're a prophet, you just acknowledge that what I'm fixing to tell you is the commandment of God. We're not talking about all read one and one tonight. We're talking about, Paul says, what I'm writing to you is the commandment of God. All right? Now, let's see what else he said there. But if any man be ignorant, uninformed, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues, let all things be done in decency and in order. So he's telling us there's an order of the Spirit. Praise God. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean, a misuse or abuse of the gifts of the Spirit, okay? This actually happened. I'm not going to tell you where it happened, but it happened. On the way to church one night, a husband and wife were driving in the car, and they were arguing about something. And the guy, he just wasn't buying it. He just wasn't believing what she said. So when they got to church and they got to worshiping, Spirit began to move. People began to feel the presence of the Lord. The woman stood up and said, thus saith the Lord. Now, that's what happens, usually an introductory phrase to the operation of the gift of prophecy, which is an ecstatic utterance in the language in which you know. It's for edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what they do. And so this woman, she just wasn't satisfied. She wasn't winning the argument, so she's going to pull God on him. Thus saith the Lord, thou hast a good wife. If thou will hearken unto her voice. That happened in Jesus' name, one God, outside church. You don't win arguments by the gifts of the Spirit, friend. She was ignorant. Okay. Another example. So that was a misuse. Somebody said, well, she was carnal in the flesh. Well, we're all in the flesh. None of us got our glorified body yet. We're in the flesh. Okay. When I was a young boy, my mother got the Holy Ghost when I was 3 years old. So I've been around this since I was 3 years old. And my dad left family. And so my mom had an 18-year-old son and an 8-year-old son to raise as a single parent. I was the 8-year-old. And my brother that was 18, he was very rebellious and very wicked. And he despised the things of God. And he would argue with my mother about everything. And one day they were having an argument. And my mother was not winning the argument. So she thought she could win the argument. So she just started speaking in tongues to my brother. He's cussing and she's speaking in tongues. Misuse of tongues. Doesn't mean she was sinning. Just means she was ignorant about there's a time and a not a time. There's a right and a wrong. And so here we go. Now, so those are misuses. Now, let's look at the order of importance. We got to get this down to 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Start with verse 28, and we're coming back to 14. And God, everybody say God. And God hath set some in the church. Everybody say some. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. This is the order of importance. It is in a descending order, most important to least important. Are you with me? And notice it was God that set them in the church. And so there is an order of preeminence. And so what this is simply teaching us is every spiritual gift that is manifest and operated in church is subject to the man that fills the pulpit right here. He is the judge. Come on, say, he's the judge. If pastor comes by and says, please sit down, you're out of order. Don't get mad, just get glad. You were about to mess up. And he spared you. Amen. 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 And so here's the order. We don't need to go there. Now, spiritual gifts are not to be operated in private. That means if we have a home Bible, home cottage prayer meeting, that is not the place for the gifts of the Spirit to operate. I'm going to tell you, the kingdom of God has suffered so much damage by people getting together and praying. We want you to pray, but ever you reach it, they reach a spot where someone feels like it's time for they. And here's what happens: they've been talking about maybe problems they've been having or things they're going through, and some. Usually it's a lady will say, well, God told me to tell you. And buddy, you are in a heap of trouble. You say, can you prove that, Brother Allred? Yes. You read 1 Corinthians 14. The gifts of the Spirit are to be operated when the church is come together. Well, somebody said, well, where the two or three are gathered together in his name, there am I in the midst of them. So we're the church. No, you're not. You're part of the church. You're part of the body. And so he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit are to operate in corporate public worship, what we call in church. Why? Because there's got to be a judge. There's got to be somebody with authority and insight and understanding and knowledge in the Word of God to say, this is wrong and this is right. And that should make you feel comfortable. Because you know your shepherd loves you. He's not going to hurt you. And he doesn't want anything. He doesn't want you to go off track. And so if he sees you going off track, he'll say, just stop right here, right now. Don't be offended. Just say, show me what to do. And he'll tell you what to do. Amen. All right. So there we are. Were you with me there? Now let's get the scriptures that shows her to be operated in worship together. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14 and 19. Says this, yet in the church, everybody say in the church, where are we tonight? Yet in the church, Paul said, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. But we're going to talk about that later. But in the church, you get that? In the church. Verse 26 says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together? When do you come together? At church. One Every one of you hath a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done to edify. So notice here it is when you come together. Verse number 29 says this. Verse number 40 says this. Let all things be done decently in order. And so these verses show to us that the gifts of the Spirit are to be manifest in public worship when the body comes together. Now, you can get more information on that in 1 Corinthians 12. He talks about the body. All the body's not an eye. All the body's not an ear. All the body's not a foot. There are different parts of this body. You know that. Okay, so the gifts of the Spirit are to be manifest or made known or to operate when the body comes together. Now, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything, everybody say everything, to everything. There is a time and a season, there is a time and a season to every purpose under heaven. So there is a time when gifts operate. And I'll tell you, if you've been in the church a little while, the service begins to move in a certain direction. Those that are have understanding, they say in their heart, the gifts of the Spirit are fixing to operate. And when you get that feeling, our kids should have that feeling. What are you supposed to do? Everybody shout and run the aisles and go to the bathroom? No, everybody shuts up. Bam. In reverence to God, God's going to speak to us through one of these gifts. And so there's a sense. If you're educated in the Holy Ghost, now if you're a new convert, you're not, but you're going to get educated. And so when you have experience in the Holy Ghost, you know instinctively when gifts are to operate. And we honor that and we give God place. We don't just go on and keep singing, or we don't go on and do other things. We wait on God. Are you with me tonight? All right. Now, Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 is dealing with the proper operation of two of the most common gifts. The gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. In fact, the gift of tongues is the least of the gifts. You say, why is it the least of the gifts? Because you're already keyed to it when you got the Holy Ghost and you begin to speak with other tongues. You might be a little cautious, but that's good. But God doesn't have to climb over a wall to get you to respond to the Spirit and start to speak with tongues with the gift of tongues. Because you're already accustomed to that. Okay. And so Paul teaches us that tongues is really the least of the gifts. Important, necessary, but it is the least of the gifts. So now let's begin to look down through here. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, start with 1. Follow after charity, that's love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh, now look at your Bible, the word unknown, if you're in the King James, is in italics. Why is it in italics? Because it's not in the original text. The translators added the word unknown. They thought it would make it clearer. And so what he's really saying, he that speaketh in a tongue, which is a language, speaketh not to men but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now for the most part, when you hear people speaking with tongues, you don't understand what they're saying. And the person speaking in tongues doesn't understand what they're saying. Okay? What are you doing? You're speaking to God in a mystery. What's the subject? The wonderful works of God. Acts 2 says, how hear we every man in the language in which we born, speaking the wonderful works of God? So I don't worry about when I'm speaking the tongues. I'm not, you know, people say, I heard people speaking in tongues and they were cussing in another language. Well, you may have heard people cussing in another language, but they weren't speaking in tongues of God.
Right.
How do you know, Brother Allred? 1 Corinthians 12 said, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. So you don't have to worry not one bit. When you're praying and speaking in tongues, are you saying something that's evil or wrong? I can guarantee you if somebody comes in here speaking in tongues and they got the wrong spirit, this preacher right here, I'll go tell them, sit down and stop. Say, Brother, all right, why? Because they are out of order. It's not right. And so the way of truth can be evil spoken of if we allow that to continue. Not to be mean or hateful, but there's got to be an order of things. All right. Now, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, let's look at Acts 2. Acts 2 says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews out of every nation, 100 Elamites, da da da. Names off 17 different languages. And you know what the people said? How, these are Galileans, how hear we every man speak in the language in which we were born? The miracle was not that people understood them. The miracle was that the people talking didn't know the language. And in that case, the hearers, because these people were speaking in languages known, unknown to the speaker, known to the hearers. And they heard it. What were they saying? The wonderful works of God. Speaking with tongues, a gift of tongues, is not to preach the gospel. It is to worship and to edify. Amen. I have heard people receive the Holy Ghost and speak in German. I have heard people receive the Holy Ghost and speak in French. I don't understand either of those languages. I recognized them for what they were. One sister in my church, she was an Italian. She came up to, we were praying in the altar for people to get the Holy Ghost. And as we do sometimes in the altar, we'll pray for people to receive the Holy Ghost. We may speak with tongues while we're praying, right? And so I was praying, not making a big deal out, just down at the altar praying, speaking to him. And Sister Nancy Crowley came up to me after church, and she's a little Italian. And she said, oh, Pastor. I said, yes. You were praying in Italian tonight, and I understood you. I'm glad she understood. I didn't know. I was just praying. Okay, are you with me? There have been people that have come into services and somebody spoke with tongues. And for some reason there was no interpretation. After church, the person came up and said, you were talking to me tonight. I understood exactly what you said. It was their native language. And God talked to them. Okay. And so those are examples where those that does happen. But normally, he that when you speak in tongues, nobody understands you. Only God understands you. All right? We got to stay in the Bible. But he that prophesieth. Now, what is prophecy? Prophecy is an ecstatic utterance. That means it is motivated by the Holy Ghost. And it will usually come off something like this. Thus saith the Lord. Or sometimes it says, my children hear my voice. Have anybody heard any of that? And it does three things. It has three purposes. Edification, exhortation, comfort. Now, if it goes beyond that, somebody's missed God, because that's what the gift of prophecy is for. Edification, exhortation. Now, exhortation may be saying, get it together, get right. Or comfort. Someone may be, you know, the Lord may say, I hold you in my right hand. Don't be moved. And there's somebody in that congregation that's going through the ringer backwards. And they think God has forgotten them. And the Lord took the time out to speak to somebody. And they begin to prophesy. And when they said, the Lord said, I got you in my right hand. It's edified them. Oh, it comforted them. It might not have comforted everybody, but it did that person. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, let's move on. Now, Okay. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now again, the word unknown is not there. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth does what? Come on, you got to follow. Verse number 4. But he that prophesieth what? Edifies the church. And so Apostle Paul's subject here is edifying of the church, not edifying individuals. Are you with me? Now, it's okay to edify yourself in your personal prayer. In fact, let me say, I felt God speak to me today, and I'm going to say this. If you haven't spoken in tongues since you received the Holy Ghost, you need to pray through until you speak in tongues. Because you need edification. You need being built up. And there's a time for you to do it. You can edify yourself. Now, you can read Ephesians, the 5th chapter. He said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's talking about in your prayer life. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to God. All right? Let me give you some more. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, "For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us according to the will of God." And it comes sometimes with groanings that cannot be uttered. So when you're praying, and you may not know how to pray about a certain situation, but if you begin to pray in the Spirit, you begin to pray and speak in tongues, not the gift of tongues, just praying and talking in tongues as the evidence of the Holy Ghost will make intercession for you, and it will direct you to pray for what you need to pray about. You might be praying about a new Cadillac, and God wants you to get the victory over cussing. Oh, that just slipped out, didn't it? Or drinking. Or smoking or toking. You know what I'm talking about? And so the Lord will just move on you in the Spirit, and you start praying in tongues. You don't know what you're praying for, but you need to say, "God knows what I really need, and bless God, He's making intercession for me." Are you with me? All right. And in the book of Jude, the 20th verse says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." So it is necessary for everybody that has the Holy Ghost that in your life you need to pray and speak in tongues. It was good 20 years ago. It better be good right now. And if it's been too long, then let's find a place and get a hold of God and say, I need to know how to edify myself. I need to know how to overcome. I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to be overcoming jumping up and down, but you will overcome when you pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm anointed. I know what I'm talking about tonight. Hallelujah. I'm trying to learn to smile when I preach because I'm so intense. I just frown. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just happy as I can be. Now, listen to this. We all need to edify ourselves. But it's not when you come to church. When you come to church, church is to be edified. I pastored for a long time, and I had some saints. My wife can tell you how many times. I don't know how many times. I taught on this subject so many times. I had, and it's usually ladies. I'm sorry, but I'm not a chauvinist. It just how it works. I wish it was different, but anyway. up. I would be in my office studying and preparing for service, and people would come into the church all throughout the day and pray. I taught them to do that. It was right. My house is a house of prayer. And so, but I got to listening. I don't make a habit of listening to people pray. But I was in the desk, and they were in my office sitting at my desk, and they were praying at the top of their voice. I had to hear them, you know. I hear the back door open. It screeched. I knew how far it was from the vestibule to the auditorium. And then immediately, they're talking in tongues. And they talked in tongues for 45 minutes, an hour. And they got up and they left. The next one would come in. As soon as it came in the door, they hit the prayer. They're talking in tongues. I said, boy, they're spiritual, brother. I'm sorry. They were as carnal as a stump. Because they could talk in tongues for 45 minutes and walk out the door and tell somebody off. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're praying in the Spirit, the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, temperance. You just don't pray in tongues for 45 minutes and get over there and tell somebody off in the next five. And I always had to counsel with them over the same old problems over and over and over. And finally, just gentle me, I said, sit down, ladies. I'm going to tell you something. You need to spend more time praying in English about the problems you got and the issues in your life and the sins that you have trouble with. Some of you need to pray and say, God, tie my tongue in a knot. Or some of them was tied in the middle and flapped at both ends. I'm just telling you. What are you saying, Brother Allred? I'm saying that when we edify ourselves, and so Paul said, what did he say? I will pray with the Spirit. I'll pray in talking tongues. And I will pray with the understanding thereof. And so the Bible says when you're talking in tongues, you don't know what you're saying. So pray in tongues and understand the Holy Ghost. That's letting you know the Holy Ghost is in your life. By the way, it doesn't mean you're right with God just because you spoke in tongues. It just means you got the Holy Ghost and God wants to work on you. And He's going to edify you. Edify is going to build you up so you can overcome that big problem you've been struggling with for 10 years. And so I just told them, ladies, you got to start praying about your personal needs. We've been around this tree so many times, there's a ditch in it. And you, all this time you've been praying in tongues, you've just been wasting your time. Because you're not being changed. The Holy Ghost is here to change you. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on from that. All right. So he says here. Okay. He that speaketh in a tongue edifies himself, but the church, he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that you all spake with tongues. Now he's talking about the gift of tongues here. But rather, everybody say rather, that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Are you ready? Except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. We're talking about tongues in public worship in the body. And so what should we do? Are we focused on edifying ourselves? Are we coming to church to edify the body? You can talk in tongues for 14 hours at home if you want to. But when you come to church, we want to edify the body. We don't want to be selfish. Sometimes my mom was bad to do that. And after I got up a little bit and got the Holy Ghost, went to Bible school a little bit, we had a couple of conversations. And I'd say, Mom, you got to knock it off. What do you mean? I said, you just interrupt the whole service. Sometimes you just start talking in tongues. And everybody's sitting around looking. She said, well, I can't quench the Spirit. I can't control it. I said, oh, yes, you can. Oh, no, it's of God. It's supernatural. Yeah, supernatural. It's of God. But you're going to find in this Bible, he tells you, you can control it. Ooh, hallelujah. All right. Now, lost my place. Okay, now, brethren, he says this. If I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation. In other words, God gave me an understanding of a certain verse or subject by revelation. Or by knowledge, here's what I've learned. Or by prophesying, static utterance, or by doctrine. Now, I'm coming to you with doctrine tonight. That's what I'm here for. And then he says, what's it going to benefit you if I just come to you talking in tongues? It's not going to help you at all. I've got it. Okay. Now, and he said, even things without life giving sound, whether piped or harped, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare themselves to battle? Now, in the Old Testament, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and he brought them to Mount Sinai and he gave them the law and he gave them the tabernacle and all that stuff. And then he said, and make two silver trumpets. What were those two silver trumpets for? One was sounded to call the assembly, to gather the whole congregation together. There was 3 million of them, my friend. They didn't have a PA system. They didn't have a radio. So what did he do? He said, make one of these trumpets when you want to talk to the congregation, get the priest to blow that trumpet. Da, 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 da. Everybody come to church. We're going to have a meeting. And the other trumpet was for the journey. They had different sounds. One told them to come together. The other said, one said, come hither. And the other said, go yon. It was a trumpet to give direction. And Paul said, if I come to you just talking in tongues, I got an uncertain sound. You don't know what to do. Okay, now. So, there we go. Now, you see, Brother Albert, 9, verse 9. So, likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? Boy, this is going to hurt you. For ye shall speak into the air. You're just blowing smoke. Because nobody understands. Nobody's getting edified. There's no direction. There's no revelation. There's no doctrine. Now, you might feel good about it, but everybody else is waiting on you to get done so they can talk to God too. Amen? Okay. Now, please don't get offended by my... I just talk plain. Okay. Now, verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That's got to be our motive. We want the body to be built up. We want somebody else to be encouraged. You say, well, what do I need the encouragement? God will see to it that you get encouraged. He'll see to it. All right. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Paul says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? What am I going to do? Listen to this. I will pray with the Spirit. That means I'm going to pray and speak in tongues. And I will pray with the understanding also. It has been my experience in these 52 years that I've lived for God and had the Holy Ghost in my prayer life. I don't ever think about praying in tongues. I just start out to pray and talk to God, love God. I may pray about needs. I may pray. But somewhere in that prayer, I'm going to begin to pray and speak in tongues. It's not my goal. It is just a natural outflowing of a relationship with God. And so Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. Pray with the Spirit. If you haven't been, seek to do it. But if you've been praying with the Spirit, you need to also pray that you could, with understanding, things you know about yourself and others and needs, okay? And then he said, I will sing with the Spirit. Have you ever heard anybody sing in the Spirit? That lady back there that's my wife, Sister Allred, she, when we evangelized, she sang, and she just had a wonderful gift for sensitivity to what song was right at what time. I depended upon her. I never told my wife in the 7 years that we evangelized, in fact, I never tell her what I'm going to preach to this day. I said, it's my business to hear from God what to preach. You're a part of this team. You're a singer and a worshiper. And it's your job to get hold of God and get the song that's going to complement what I preach. And it never failed. Never. But one night my wife was singing and playing her accordion. It had such an impact on me. She was singing a song. I'm in love with Jesus. And he's in love with me. I've a picture of King Jesus. I want the whole world to see. She's singing. And then without any hesitation, Brother Arnie, she started singing that song in tongues. As I live and breathe, my jaw. And I just listened. And the Spirit moved. And then she sang the next verse of the song in English. I knew that one. We need some of that singing in the Spirit. Amen. The whole church was edified. I know I was. Amen, amen, amen. And so Paul said, I'll sing with the Spirit and I'll sing with the understanding thereof. Praise God. All right, move on. Got to close here. All right, anyway. Now, let's look at the order of the operation of the gift of tongues. Verse 9, so likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken, for ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many voices in the world, and none of them without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh. Okay. Now, even so, verse 12, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual goods, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with understanding therefore also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, that means if you will pray in tongues, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeth he understandeth not what thou sayest? What is the unlearned? The visitor, the guest, the people that we knock ourselves out to get them to come to church. And they walk in here and we're all talking in tongues and carrying on. They don't have a clue what's going on. They already heard stuff about how Pentecostals are. They said, boy, it confirms that they're off their rocker. But if they come in here and people start prophesying, it says the secrets of their heart will be discerned. And they will fall on their face and say, of a truth, God is in this place. Sometimes prophesying, Brother Charles, is preaching. Sometimes while I'm preaching, I'm operating the gift of prophecy. I'm prophesying. I have people come up to me, who you been talking to, Brother Allred? I said, what are you talking about? Did Sister so-and-so talk to you before church? No. You repeated word for word the conversation we had on the way to church. I said, well, bless God. God knows the secret of your heart, and you got the answer tonight. Receive it from God. Amen. Sometimes we used to have testimony service, you know, people that really walked in the Spirit. While they were testifying, Brother Fisher, they were prophesying. They were telling about what God did in their life, and they're sitting old Charlie over there. He's facing the same thing. He don't know what to do. And here somebody's, they're speaking, God's anointing them. and say, well, if God did it for them, he'll do it for me. But the gift of prophecy is that ecstatic utterance that pauses and said, thus saith the Lord, bam. And you know you're hearing directly from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It will never contradict the word of God, I'll tell you. Amen. Okay, now let's see. About done here. Now, Paul says, I thank God, verse 18, that I speak with tongues more than you know. He's not against speaking in tongues. He's talking about order. Yet, in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than with my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. In other words, it's important that we edify others. We'll be edified in our personal prayer life. But we need to have understanding. Now, let's see. Verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, they will say you are mad. But if all prophesy, there come in one that believeth not or unlearned, he is convicted of all and he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And then he asked the question, how come when you come together, every one of them has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, interpretation, let all things be done to edification. If any man speak with tongues, let it be by two or at the most three, and that by course, that means not all at the same time, one after another. What does that mean? The gift of tongues and interpretation, there can be two or three messages in tongues in a service. Limit, bang, and let one interpret. That means to give. It's easier to exercise the gift of tongues than it is to interpret, I'll tell you that. But he says we need interpretation so that, why? Everybody will be edified. Amen? Amen. Are you with me tonight? I hope you're not bored. I really felt led of God to bring us here. Now, listen. Verse 28, important. But if there be no interpreter, bless God, just speak in tongues, do you get through? No. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. There's two important points here. If there's nobody there, first of all, this means that there are people that have the gift of tongues. I know there's people in apostolic church teach that God just goes, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, which one am I going to use tonight? Sorry, Charlie, no. He gives gifts to individuals. It is known that they have it. And if it's, you say, well, how do I know? Have you operated, have you ever interpreted a message in tongues? Don't raise your hand if you have. You have the gift of interpretation. You have a responsibility. When you come to church, you need to be praying and saying, now, God, if you speak through the gift of tongues tonight, I want to be on the same wavelength that you'll give me the interpretation. There's a responsibility that goes with that. Why? Because we're in the body. He wants the body edified. It also tells us here that if you know there's nobody there that has the gift of interpretation and you feel like giving a message in tongues, if there's no interpreter present, don't do it. Or pray that God will give you the interpretation, that the church will be edified. Am I in the Bible tonight? All right. And so what he's just simply saying, he just wants us to have the order of the Spirit. And he goes on to say that the prophets, those that have the gift of prophecy, they can prophesy two or three, one after the other. And the church will be edified so that all may learn. Amen. Now, let's stand together. And let's close this out tonight. I don't want to go on any further. The conclusion of it is this. Paul says, if any man or anybody thinks himself to be spiritual, be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. He said, this is God's order of operation. And he wants us, expects us to know and flow and yield to God and be used of God so that people can be built up, the church can be built up. The person that's lost, they come to the house of God. God smites their heart. Bam, they're in the altar. And the church is added to and edified. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So we want to learn to flow in the Holy Ghost tonight. Now, I don't know exactly why the Lord's been, he gave me, the impressed upon me to teach that. I don't think I'm anybody. But I felt so strongly tonight. We have a yearning after the power and the glory of God here. It is manifest. There is an intense hunger in here. And the good God of glory wants to move more powerfully than he ever has among us. Hallelujah. And we can flow together and God will move powerfully. Hallelujah. So what are we going to do? Covet the best gifts. Covet the blessed gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. Pray for them. Ask for them. And the Lord will give gifts to people. He just may give it one of them to you. And man, what an important person you'll be in the kingdom of God tonight. Let's love him together. God, I thank you for your presence. Thank you for your good word. Thank you for Apostle Paul. Lord, thank you for this good church that has such an intense hunger after you, God. We want to worship you, Lord. We want everything you've got for us tonight, today, tomorrow, next week, and next month. We want to flow and walk in the Spirit. That we want to impact this city for you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Let's worship him right now. The gifts of the Spirit. Remember, you got to have the Spirit before you can get the gifts. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything to be done decently and in order. It doesn't mean we can't worship and praise God. They did it in the upper room. It doesn't mean that as the church and collectively begins to worship and speak in tongues, doesn't mean you can't do that. What this means is this, that if there's somebody feels that tongues, and you have that gift of giving tongues, and then there's an interpreter, and you speak it, amen, there needs to be an interpreter. Amen. I've seen churches and places where you'd have, as Brother Allred was teaching, a couple of people that would give speaking in tongues out loud and strong. The church would get silent. And then there would be no interpreter. And that's what Paul was simply saying. He's not talking against you speaking out loud, speaking in tongues, but if you're going to give tongues as a gift, amen, he wants an interpreter to edify the church, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Allred. I think that really put a lot of foundation. Amen. Remember, all the gifts of the Spirit are delivered by that self-same Spirit. Amen. But you got to have the Spirit. Get that in your head right now. You have to have the Holy Ghost before you can have any of the gifts of that Spirit. I was in an argument for an hour and a half one night with a person. Said that tongues is no longer necessary. And that, you know, the gifts of the Spirit and everything. And finally, I got through to her husband, Brother Allred. She had that mental block, and forgive me, that spirit of ignorance. Just did not know and would not receive it. And her husband finally said, I see it. And I said, what exactly do you see? He said, I've got to have the Holy Ghost here before I can get any of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Talking about the oil, I was in the industry for years. Brother Allred's right. All these other attributes of oil, diesel, turpentine, all these things, if you don't have the oil, you don't have any of the other. Amen? You can't make gasoline unless you have oil. Got to have it. So you've got to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. This was a very powerful lesson tonight. Think about what the elder spoke on. In the future, all of a sudden, somebody wants to argue about speaking in tongues and saying, well, I do have the Spirit, and then they want to start prophesying, they want to teach. You know what? I don't want nobody prophesying over me. I don't want nobody telling me how I got to live unless I know they have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not only that, Brother Allred, If they have the Holy Ghost, you touched on it. The fruits of the Holy Ghost is going to portray itself. What does that mean? Friend, they say, well, all you got to do is clean up on the inside. If you clean up in here, you're going to clean up out here. Why? It's a fruit of that Spirit once again. Amen. A gift of the Spirit and a fruit of the Spirit. Remember, you got to have the Spirit first. Thank you. Man, that was powerful. I hope it helps some of you. If you have questions, write them down. Get them to us. We'll do our best to answer them. But I'm here to tell you right now, the Spirit of the Lord is bigger and better than anything in this world. A lot of people think you just come to church and have a free-for-all. No, you don't have a free-for-all. You come to church and worship God, and His book keeps order in the house of God. Amen. When the Holy Ghost moves, if you feel like shouting and dancing and you feel like worshiping, if that's not out of the book, that's in the book. That's a part of worship. Amen. If all of a sudden you fall on your face and you're weeping and crying and then you're speaking in tongues, well, you're not given a gift of tongues and interpretation. You're just speaking. Like Brother Allred said, that's edifying you. That's okay. Edify ourselves once in a while. But if it's going to interrupt the church service in a loud, boisterous way, that is what the elder was teaching. God will not give the tongues without an interpretation. You get that? Thank you, Brother Allred. Let's raise our hands and worship the Lord. We're going to sing. This altar is open. Thank you for being with us in the house of the Lord. Amen. This is just good old-fashioned Pentecostal preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. This altar is open. Let's find a place of worship. Amen. If you've got to edify yourself, get on your face and talk to the Lord right now. Amen. Praise God.